Well, I talked to my brother a couple of days ago, and he asked me to send his blessing to Scotland. So I'm releasing his blessing to Scotland. And I've told him he needs to come. Sometimes he's not obedient, but well, it takes him a little while. I go quickly, and he's just a little slower. But he is worth waiting for, so I'll keep bugging him. You're welcome. So, what do you want to do, Alan? We'll just have fun? Okay. So let's, let me see. I just want to see what you want. What's that? Okay, that's fair enough. Well, thank you, Jesus. My heart, someone asked, why do I come to Scotland, of all places? Now, let me explain that to you so you're not offended. I'd love to go to third world countries. All right, I love to go, and the reason I do is because it's poor. I love going to places that's poverty-stricken, and there's no hope. That's just where I like to go, because that's where light needs to be the most, right? And so my preference is to go to places that hell reigns heavy, and that's just my DNA. So there are times that I will travel to other places that it's not as obviously as in hell. You guys aren't in hell. You have some things that need to be broken. Amen. All right. And I think I might be able to talk about some of those today. But the reason I'm coming here is because my job, I'm an evangelist, I guess that's what you'd call me, and I'm supposed to train the church to do the work of the ministry, which I do, and I also love to throw out nets to get people saved. But my job is to raise up warriors, right? And that's why Scotland excites me, is because in your DNA, not because of the movie Braveheart, but in your DNA, you have been called to be warriors. That's your destiny. And that's why I continue to come back, because I want to call forth the warrior anointing and bust open the wells of old and help to release your destiny, which is to change the world. Amen. Amen? And so that's why I come to Scotland. I don't come here because I love to visit your dumps. That's why I go other places. I don't come here to visit your brothels, but that's why I go to other places. But I come here because you have the potential to go with me to those places and plunder hell and populate heaven. That's who you are. You have a prophetic anointing. It's coupled with an evangelist. You can really hardly ever, if you're a true evangelist, you can't be just an evangelist. There has to be prophetic in you. Otherwise, it's not going to work well for you. So that prophetic anointing coupled with the evangelist anointing, that's your destiny, that's your DNA. And those cannot work by themselves. That's why God gave gifts to the church. Ephesians talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Right? Now, it's difficult for those five to get along. Just telling you the truth. Because I'm 110% evangelist. And sometimes I think the teachers are going to hell. Because they haven't got anybody saved their entire life. And the teacher thinks I'm the Antichrist. The way I fling scripture out. And I don't even go to the text or the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic or all that stuff. And they just are sitting there just having a coronary in their seat. But you need to understand it's really, really important. I'm just gonna think out loud with you today and then prophesy and then maybe give you some nuggets to chew on and remind me where I am about the fivefold. Let me tell you something about the truth of God. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Isn't it funny, though, how you can have a speaker and they'll speak and you'll catch something and it will ignite your spirit, your soul. You just feel on fire. And then the person sitting next to you looks at you like, what happened to you? That was stupid. I don't understand why you like that guy. But in your soul, it just blew it up. You know what I'm saying? Well, here's what I learned. If you can catch this now, and especially for the younger people, which mostly of I see some in the back. Thank you very much, Chief. If you're under, let's see. My first leg of the journey, I'm going to 120. So, and then I'm going to reconsider when I'm about 110. I'm going to think about maybe going to 200. We'll see. But you think I'm joking? I'm not joking. So, you know, if you're probably 90 or under, unless you have the same mentality and goals I do, then age doesn't mean anything. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to do and take care of yourself. You can't expect supernatural breakthrough if you're an idiot when it comes to your health. I mean, you can't have beer and curry every day and expect to live to 120. Amen. See, I just hit a nerve there. It's just like in California. If you think you're going to live to 120 and have Mexican food every day, that ain't going to happen. You guys don't have Mexican food here, though. So you don't know what Chicana glory is all about. I'll pause right there. So you can be sitting there and you can get something in it to excite your soul, and then the person next to you gets nothing. Man, so many times I would, two examples, I'll be sitting there. I remember when I was an associate pastor with my brother. I worked with him for 11 years, and there'd be different guests. And I remember even growing up in my dad's church, he pastored Bethel many, many, many years ago, and we'd have different people come and speak. And I remember as a young person, when, and this is not a diss on anybody I'm talking about, I'm just telling you about my soul, all right? Well, this means yes. This means okay. Yes, okay, good. And a missionary would come and bless their hearts, and they would show, back that day, they'd show slides. You know, they'd go through the slides, and they would tell about their little stories, and I'd fall asleep. And then we'd have a prophet come, and a prophet, that was before prophets were popular. That was back in the late 60s and early 70s. That's when, I just gave my age away. So that's when they weren't popular. And we'd have, my dad was, he just as an iconoclast, he marched to a different drum beat, and he was out there and just really was a maverick in the things of God. And so he'd bring these people in. And a prophet, you know, he would amuse me for a little bit, and then I would, you know, doodle and write notes to my friends. And then, you know, if we'd have a singing group come, back then it was singing group, not worship. We had singing groups that would arrive in a bus, and they'd set up and they would sing. And they'd be entertaining for a while, and it's good, that's good. But when an evangelist came, man, I was on the edge of my seat. I loved hearing his stories and the power which he preached by. He would just light my fire. It just fed my soul. See, what you need to learn now, if you're 90 or under, you need to learn it's okay for things to excite your soul, and it's okay if it doesn't. I remember when I was going through a difficult time, I had two mentors. Both spoke the word of God. Bless you. Both spoke the word of God. Both were amazing people. You know both of them. One of them spoke. I did what they said to do. First of all, when they spoke, it brought heaviness to my spirit. But they were speaking the word of God. So I did what they said to do, and I fell flat on my face. Another man spoke. It brought life to my spirit and soul. I did what he said because I was in a place of darkness. It was just hard to see up from down. So I was just hanging on. And I did what he said, and life happened. So this happened time and time again. Two phenomenal men of God. Both are highly esteemed. Both apostolic in their calls. One would speak, I would do. Life left. The wind left my sail. And it was hopeless. The other one spoke, lifted my spirits, gave me life and hope again. Isn't that crazy? How both men of God, both apostolic in their callings, both speaking truth, one worked and one didn't. See, a lot of times what we try to do is we try to take so much stuff in and live our life according to so much stuff coming in. What we have to do is we have to understand who we are, what our calling is, what feeds our spirit, and take that in, what feeds our spirit. The things that don't, we don't come against, we don't criticize, we don't dissect or judge, we celebrate with those who excites over there. Now, don't miss this. You see, I've learned here recent, again, I'm a slow learner, but I'm worth waiting for. That goes better in the States, but that's all right. I have to understand my DNA and how I'm made and what fires me up. But if I just remain there, then what's going to happen is I'm going to start becoming jaded and skeptical and critical of the group over here. And then the enemy has won. Because what is going to bring the revival that we've all been seeking? Unity. Not uniformity. Uniformity is all being the same. Unity is being able to understand and be okay with who I am and celebrate the diversity of the body of Christ. Okay? So if I just stay here, I'm going to become jaded and critical. However, if I just stay over here and don't sharpen my edge with my tribe, but I just stay here and I want to become open-minded. The problem is I become so open-minded, my brains fell out. And then I lost my edge. I'm serious. Because I've done that. I've done both. I've hung here, but then I start getting ticked at the rest of the people because they're a bunch of bozos. Nobody can relate. No. But then I started hanging with these guys because that's what they told me to do. So I just started hanging with these guys. And what are these guys? That's the rest of the gifts. The apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor. That's for me. Take a message. Oh, that's something out there. Okay, is that a doorbell? You're late. So if I just hang over here, then I start losing my edge and my fire. Why? Because what excites them doesn't speak to the core of who I am. Now, some will say, well, that doesn't make sense. Jesus should just excite you, period. Maybe so, but maybe I'm just not mature enough yet. I love hearing all the wonderful things and the testimonies and the miracles of God. That's great, but if I just hang here, I'll lose my edge. So it's what I call the radical middle. I can't just hang with my tribe, and I can't just hang over here because that's what they want. I have to do both. And I have to understand what feeds my spirit, and I got to feed my spirit that. And then I need to celebrate diversity over here. I got to celebrate with the rest of the tribe. And so when we come together in a place like this or in church or conferences and things like that, personally, my DNA, I can't do a lot of conferences, go to, because I'm just telling you about me, not about what you're supposed to do. You understand the difference? Just about me, my DNA. I can't handle a lot of conferences. I remember when I went to Brazil with my brother and Randy Clark. If I had a gun, I would have shot myself. But I couldn't get a hold of one. I don't understand. Well, because we were with 120 Christians going and doing healing crusades. That appeals to me as much as a pole vault competition to a pregnant woman. She just got it. Why doesn't that excite you? Because they're saved. So I remember going to these conferences, and finally, man, I had enough. And we weren't supposed to leave the hotel room because it's dangerous. And you have to understand, the people are about this tall. What, are they going to bite my kneecap? So I said, you don't understand. I work in the city of San Francisco on the streets. I dealt with all this kind of stuff. I'll be back in a bit. So I went out to the little hobbits, the Brazilian hobbits. Is that bad? They're just small. And anyway, I found a wonderful place to be okay and not kill anybody, and found an 8-story house of prostitution. Went back to the group and said, hey, guess what I found? Prostitutes! Woohoo! Let's go party! So I found some brave girls to go with me. Went and bought 150 roses. The next day we went to the place and found a group that was working there and went in with them, and they were real reluctant to let me in because I was a guy, and they've never let a guy in ministering with them before. And I said, no, this is what I do in the city. You know, San Francisco is what I've been doing for many years. And so we went in and went to the top and went to every room, and every prostitute handed her a rose, and through interpreter told her how much God loves her, and just told her about the things of God and how they were loved and the whole thing, and went through every place. Then came down, and the team we were with that was lived there in that city started to cry and to weep, and I go, oh great, what'd I do? Now you have to understand, in this brothel, sometimes they had clothes on, sometimes they didn't. It was a very risque place. And so when we got down, they started to cry. And so I thought, man, you know, I thought it went better than that. And they just said, no, you don't understand. He said, what we saw today, what the curse that was put on these women was put on by man. And then we saw this curse taken off by another man. And so I have to do what excites me. I can't just be here. If I'm going to be here, I got to do some stuff too. Does that make sense? So if you're more prophetic anointing, and you just like hang around, you know, the prophets that are out there and see things, and I like to do that too because they're just weird, and I like to be with them and hang with them and try to see things before they see them, and that's wonderful, and I like to beat them to the competition, and, you know, I work real hard to do that. You know, the pride of an evangelist comes through, and come on, let me do it, And so I'm learning. I'm not done yet. I'm learning to celebrate this because I understand what's going to bring what I want the most is an awakening, not a revival. Revival is for Christians that need to be revived. I want an awakening to happen. The only way that can happen is for the church to work in unity and to celebrate each other. Now, in that, it's important for you to know, because we have diverse people here. We have probably have a little bit of everybody. And if you're a teacher, you know, I love you. I was just kidding, kind of, sort of. I do. I'm just kidding. Just trying to make it more humorous for y'all. It's important that you understand the apostle is the head. And I know for the rest of us, Now, there can be apostolic positions in the evangelism and the prophet, and there's all that kind of stuff, but there's an apostle. He's just the apostle, not apostolic prophetic, not apostolic evangelism, not apostolic teacher or pastor, but apostle. Apostle. Oh, just apostle. You know, you're with me now? And so it's important that these four come into submission, not rulership, but submission. And you know what submission really is? It's protection. And true submission is that apostolic, the apostle, is placing himself over but also under as a servant. That's why they said, Paul would say, no, you don't want to be an apostle. Please, you don't want to be an apostle because you'll get the hell beat out of you. And I literally mean hell beat out of you. It's the least want desired of all things. But it's important that you guys catch, whoever you are in this place, that apostle, just plain apostle. Are you catching it yet? Do I need to repeat myself again? That they come under submission to the apostle, because that apostle, then it's a mantle of protection over those groups, and it's also an ability to lift you up where you couldn't get unless you were under that. Okay? Now, the difficulty with that is because you have placed yourself under that, what you thought was someone that you could trust, and you've been burned. And therefore, you said, forget that. I got to do my thing. Because I haven't, this is the problem. This is the scary part, is you can go, you know, I'm apostolic and my prophetic. So I got that. I got it covered. I am the apostolic prophetic thing, so I'm going to lead this thing. That's dangerous, folks. Because now you become an island, and you're an easy target for deception, whatever group you're in. So it's important to come in that unity, because that's what's going to bring an awakening. That's what's going to bring the greatest last days outpouring that we have ever seen, the celebration of diversity. But understand, you don't have to lose your identity. You still get to be you, and it's a wonderful thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, so. Don't know why we talked about that, but we just did, because we did. Oh, I know why. I remember now where I was at after I got off that bunny trail. Is the reason I came here is because you're warriors, and you have a strong prophetic declaration, breakthrough anointing that needs to go into the world and set the captive free. You also have a very creative anointing, creative things that you haven't done yet, things that are different than the rest. Even in worship, you have your own sound that's going to rise and be developed. It's not going to be a copy of other Australia or United States or different places. It's your own thing, and it's a different. It's kind of like the only way I've heard it in the spirit realm, and it reminds me. I don't know if you guys know Kevin Prosh. It reminds me of that kind of eclectic but powerful breakthrough worship. I'm not pigeonholing you saying that's what it needs to be, but in the spirit realm, I've heard some of your music, and that's the kind of stuff it is. It uses many, many instruments. It doesn't just have a few. It has all kinds of different instruments. Celebrates creativity. Now I'm prophesying to you, and you better be getting this. If you ain't getting it, that's not good. So, and then you're going to go into the nations of the world and bring your breakthrough anointing for breakthrough. But first you have to become a one body that celebrates each other. And here in this nation. Cool? Does that make sense? All right. Another thing is let's talk about generosity. I think it's a key for you. Now, here's a Western preacher talking about generosity. That's kind of tough, isn't it? Because, yeah, you live in America, the land of the money. Let's just take America out of it. Let's take the white boy up here talking about it. Let me read a little verse for you. Can I read something for you? How many want to be blessed? Well, let me ask that question first, I guess. Okay, put your hands down. Let me see again. How many? Okay, let me explain what blessing is. Blessing is having more than enough, not only to make sure that you are your needs are met, but that you have more than enough to bless those around. How many want to be blessed? Okay. How many figure that if God would just hurry up and just bless me a little bit, then I would have enough to give more. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it worked that way? Well, there's a wonderful verse in the Bible. Don't turn there, but it's in Proverbs 22, verse 9. It says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." That's just one verse. This thing is loaded with verses about generosity. I honestly believe that the suppression or the lid that has been put upon you by other nations, not to be named, to keep you down and suppressed, that same lid covers who you really are as far as a generous, more than enough people. It's all under the same lid. Does that make sense? So how do you carry a breakthrough anointing, not only for yourselves, but for other nations? First, you have to break through where you are. Does that make sense? And so there'll be people that will come. There'll be prophets and different men and women of God that will come and carry a breakthrough anointing and declare breakthrough for you or over you. How many have experienced that kind of stuff where a word has been spoken and all of a sudden something hits and it changes? That's a breakthrough anointing. I carry a breakthrough anointing for certain things. And there's other men and women of God, Alan does, and different ones that carry a breakthrough anointing for areas and nations and peoples. And so for you to carry that breakthrough anointing, now, my brother says this, that grace is free, and I say salvation is free. Everything else is going to cost you. So salvation is the only free thing you get. Everything else you have to pay for. And depending on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go, do you see Matrix, anybody, or am I in the wrong country? Well, that was an old movie, but I still one of my favorites. Depending on how deep you want to go with the things of God is how much you're going to have to pay. Does that make sense? Yes. You see, Paul said, "I die daily," and he had to crucify his flesh all the time. How come? Because he aspired to be something more than he was. I told the group last night, it's amazing to me, the first book that Paul wrote, he was the greatest of all apostles, and he proved it by his lineage. And then the last book he wrote, he said, "I'm the worst of all sinners." What happened between the greatest and the least? Not least of all Christians, least of all sinners. Well, Jesus happened, and he died. Paul died. And so to get where we want to get to and to carry a breakthrough anointing, we have to practice, and we have to be obedient, and we have to do acts, prophetic acts, to see breakthrough happen. Now, prophetic acts are things that God tells us to do that don't make any sense whatsoever, but we do it. And we probably won't even see the initial outcome right away, which is frustrating. Because we're a people that want to see something. Amen? If I pray for the sick, I want to see the sick recover. And this afternoon, I'll probably talk about how to live at a place of rest and peace where whether they get healed, saved, or delivered or not doesn't really matter to you. That I'm not asking to take away your fire or your flame, but you're just going to have a different perception and perspective on why you do and what you do. But maybe that'll be this afternoon. We'll see. So let's get back to a prophetic act. Now, the father of YWAM, when he first started, he went to one country. It was Spain, very proper country, sophisticated. And they were in the center square in this town. And they were praying. And he said, "God, what do you want us to do here?" And he says, I want all of you guys to get on your knees and cry out to me in the middle of the square. Now, that wasn't proper. Because that was against what that country did and thought was acceptable. But there was a higher voice that they had to listen to, and so they bowed their knees, got on their faces in the middle of the town square, and cried out to God. and breakthrough came. That's what's called a prophetic breakthrough. There are times that God has me do something that makes no sense to me whatsoever. Sometimes, eventually, I see the sense behind it. Other times, I don't even get to see the sense behind it. But he wants to teach me how to be a breakthrough person. And so with generosity, for example, I won't tell you what to do, how to break it. But this verse real simply says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. He gives his bread to the poor. So, I want to be blessed. Now, we can read about tithing. We can read about offerings. We can read about sowing in the New Testament. We can read about giving above and beyond. We can go into all the depths of being blessed and talk about monetary remuneration coming back to you. How many know that God is not mocked? Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Is that accurate? Did I write that? No. So there are truths, there are promises in the Word that cannot not happen. Whether it's Old Testament, Old Covenant, or fulfilled in the New Testament through the blood of Jesus and resurrection, they will do what they do. And for you to have what it takes to be that more than enough, now let me pause here. Well, you know, the economic situation of Scotland, you don't understand. You been to America lately? If we choose to accept the realm in which we live in, we'll be forever hamstrung or stopped. But if we understand that we are not from this place and we live in a different world and we have different laws that govern us, then we have to live by those laws that govern us and not by the laws here. Come on in. Well, that's a phone, huh? Is that doorbell? This is kind of a tough neighborhood. You have to have a doorbell to get in. I thought it was bad in the city. This is tough. So, how do you break poverty? Generosity. So the way you break poverty is through generosity. What does that mean? It means he who has a generous eye, gives his bread to the poor, is going to be blessed. Now, it's not just with the poor. He who has a generous eye, period, is going to be blessed. Have you ever been somewhere and you felt like you're supposed to give some money to someone and it just didn't make sense? Don't raise hands, but did you follow through? You see, here's what I'm going to tell you. The devil is not going to want you to bless anybody. So many times I've been in church and God says, I want you to write this amount of check. I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. We will have none of that deception while I'm sitting in this house of God. The devil doesn't want you to be blessed, so he will do everything he can to make sure that doesn't happen. And what will he put in the heart of someone that wants to be generous? He will try to put a heart of fear. Because fear is the opposite of what God is, which is faith. And to be generous, you have to have faith. Following the transition here, this is very important for you guys. So if you want to be blessed, if you want to bust a spirit of poverty that exists over this, you have to do the opposite of what poverty tells you. Poverty tells you to hold. Generosity tells you to give. Poverty says, I need to control this. Generosity says, I'm going to sow this. Because God can't be mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap in this lifetime. 30, 60, 100 fold. It's important for us to lay ourselves in treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. And I understand that. But that's not money. That's not the monetary system that we live in. You need more than enough. the way you're going to get more than enough is you have to give out of lack. We can't wait till we're there. I'm not talking about in an offering in church. I'm talking about just catching a generous eye. My brother is one of the most blessed men I know. It's because he and his wife, Benny, have a generous eye. What does that look like? No matter where we are, if there's someone asking for alms, which there are a lot of them in Redding, tons of them in San Francisco, he always digs in his pocket and he gives them money. Some will say, well, that's stupid. That's lack of discernment because they're just going to go buy dope and alcohol. I can't answer that for you. What I try to do, sometimes if God says money, I give him money. Other times they'll say, I'm hungry. I say, well, let's go buy some food. And I'll take him in and buy food. What's a generous I do? I remember I was in Montana, one of my favorite places in the world. Have you ever been to Montana? God lives there. The reason he does is because these ominous mountains, wonderful, wonderful lakes and rivers with fishing, and also lots of hunting. Glory. You guys don't kill animals here, but it's okay. I do. I'll make it up for you. But I also eat them. And I also proudly display them on my wall. It's called the Deadhead Room. Oh, come on. Don't be pious on me now. I'm an evangelist. I'll either kill people or animals. And I thought this would be the better choice. So I think you'll agree with me. So anyway, Montana's a glorious place. I remember I was there preaching. My wife and I were preaching, ministering up there. And I was in a grocery store just practicing and wanting that breakthrough anointing of generosity and that more than enough that the Bible says. God is more than enough. What does that mean? Well, it means more than enough. So to get that, you have to yourself, individually, be obedient and work on getting that generous eye. Okay? It's not, you don't budget for a generous eye. That was from Jesus right there. You cannot budget for a generous eye. You work out your old budget and go, honey, we have this much for a generous eye. It doesn't work that way. Your whole thing is for a generous eye. And God, as you do that, God repays, all right? In fact, the Bible says if you give to the poor, God pays you back, and it's always with interest. Now, pause where I'm at for a moment. I need you to understand something. I never prepare a message when I come anywhere. I don't prepare. I don't have notes, if you've noticed. I don't read notes. I don't sit and, okay, what's the word? I wait till I get to a place. So what I do is I read when I'm not here. I love the word, and I read the word, and I soak, and I pray. And then when I come to a place, I'm asking, Father, what does this group need? Because my job is simple. I'm to raise up warriors with a breakthrough anointing. So that's my reason for being here and talking to you. So everything I will speak to you, every place I go, it's with that in mind. I'm here, if there's 1, 2, 5, 10, or the whole group, to just stir up some warriors that will rise up and understand who they are and become what they've been destined to be. And I want to throw some nuggets out, stir some areas in your heart maybe that have been dormant, and cause you to change. How many want to change? All right. So I didn't come with this message prepared. This is not a message that an American wants to bring to a foreign country. Because it's been brought here and it's been abused before. I'm not talking about, let's take an offering for Bob now and sow into what he's doing. Bless God. Just ask right now. Oh, just as I am, give to me, and you shall receive blessing. So, I had to break out in song. I just had to do it. If I go to the keyboard, you guys are toast. So, where was I? Well, I told you to remind me. You forgot, huh? Where was I? No, that was what I was. That's the tangent I got off on. I want to know where I was before I got off on the tangent. Okay, you guys, you speak a different language, so when you all talk, I can't hear. I mean, it's all I can do to understand one of you. I'm all like, and I have to be staring at your face to make sure When I went through customs here in the Glasgow airport, he probably thought I was a terrorist because he asked me a question. I'm going, excuse me? He asked it again. I go, I'm sorry. He had to say it 4 or 5 times every time he asked me something. And I'm going, you know, I'm hard of hearing. What? And he said, well, you know, who are you here with? Oh, Alan McWilliam. And then he asked me another question. What's your purpose? Huh? So I know. He finally, after about 3 minutes, he finally let me pass. I'm going, I felt like I just got strip searched. I feel like I'm a bad person. And I didn't do anything wrong. So one person right here, the lady right here. What was I talking about? Montana, thank you very much. I knew you knew. See? All of you talking. So I'm in Montana. Bless Jesus, someone's listening. And I'm in a grocery store. I'm in line, and I'm buying some food. And, I was talking about Montana, how beautiful it is. It's just absolutely gorgeous. If Jesus would let me pick a place, I'd live there, but he won't let me pick a place. So anyway, and I'm buying food, and I looked at the guy behind me, and, you know, he didn't look that, you know, well off or anything. And Jesus didn't say, buy his food. He didn't give me a command. He didn't give me an order. You know, I'm quick to obey if I hear. But I just looked at him. I'm going to buy his food. So I looked at the cashier. I said, I'll get his stuff too. And the guy goes, oh, man, you don't have to do that. And I go, oh, no worries. You know, I want to. And the cashier goes. That's what they do in the United States. I go, she goes, you sure? I go, yeah. I want to buy his stuff. Okay. So. I got his stuff and paid for it, and he's going, oh, man, thanks so much. I go, man, you bet. And as he's walking away, I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, man, you have a great day. And the wonderful thing here is one of the things I teach on evangelism, which I'm not teaching now, but is I didn't say God bless you. I didn't say Jesus loves you. I didn't say, oh, it's okay. Give the glory to Jesus. And the other thing, I just touched him because the anointing in me affects him. And the generosity not only got the attention of heaven, but it also spoke to him. And Jesus went through, and I didn't have to make it or package it and say, oh, it's all about Jesus. So anyway, that was free. I won't charge you for that one. And so a generous eye is just looking for opportunities to be generous. How are you going to break a oppression that has been put on you? And then you believe the lie. That's what has to happen. It's put on you, and then you begin to believe it. That you're an impoverished people. You're just not ever going to come into that. The way you do that is the opposite, through generosity. And to get a generous eye, you just have to practice generosity. I'm not talking about an offerings. I'm talking about just practicing generosity. I love watching the tipless society here. What we call tithers. And my grandpa calls tithers. You know what tithers are? My grandpa made this up. He's in heaven now. But he said when he had a salt shaker and he'd pour it on his food and hardly any salt came out because he loved salt, he'd call it a tither, slam it on the table and call it a tither. What does that mean, Grandpa? Only gave what it had to. I didn't say it. My grandpa did. But I laugh still to this day. And so I'm not even talking about tithing. If you're not tithing, well, you just, you know, it's even past that. It's fighting to get a generous eye where you just look for opportunities all day long to be generous with your money, with your time, with your talents, with your gifts. You have a generous eye. And that's how you're going to break a poverty spirit or the curse that was put on you that you have aligned yourself with is to have a generous eye. So how do you start? There's lots of ways to start. You can start when you see someone that's hungry, you feed them. When you're in a restaurant or someplace and there's no tip jar, you leave a tip anyway. And you're generous with your tip. You don't base it upon their service. You base it upon your generosity. I'm not quite at this place yet, but there's times I'm with my brother and we're out for dinner and, you know, the bill may be, in U.S. dollars, may be, you know, $40-$50. And he'll, most every time, leave a $100 tip. Twice what the bill was for food. How many goes, I wish I was his server. So when he comes in a restaurant, needless to say, they fight over him. He didn't start there. But he's a blessed man because he started with when he passed a beggar, he'd give him alms. And he many times pray for them also. But just didn't have the silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. A lot of times we fall back on that in the church. Well, silver and gold have I none, but I have money in my pocket, but I don't have silver and gold. I have pounds, but not silver and gold. So, but you need to bust loose, and the way you're going to do that is to ask God to give you a heart of generosity and an eye to be generous. And start small. You're not going to start where some people are now. You're going to start with what you have. And you're going to say, okay, I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to be generous. And then you go to another service and you're only supposed to sow into good soil. And I preach that and I believe that. When it comes to sowing, I believe you have a responsibility to sow in the good soil. And that's talking about 30, 60, 100-fold return. That's sowing, right? I'm talking about just plain getting a generous eye. You're not going to sow to someone that's poor. You're going to bless someone that's poor. You're not going to sow your seed to a waitress or a food server. You're going to give money because you want to be generous and a generous eye. But you're going to sow your seed and give your tithe into the good place, the good soil. Does that make sense? Okay. I don't want this to be a lecture thing. So is there any questions on anything I've talked about thus far? Anybody have questions? And if it's a can of worms that you're opening, I'll tell you. And we're not going to deal with any cans of worms. So, but if it's a very wonderful question, but just be aware. If it's a spirit of stupid question, I'm going to let you know. Gently. I'm just going to say, well, Bishop Allen will answer that after this conference. Because he loves worms. He loves to go fishing. And yes, sir. How do you know that? Because your hearts click and you feel like you've known them for a long time. And it's not without, here's what I do is my heart clicks. It feels like I've known them for a long time. And I know they want my best and therefore I can give them my best. And what I do is, what I've done all my life, and especially in the last you know, 10, 12 years raising up my team is I put a demand on them who's going to be with me, and I demand that they're loyal and they're servants. And if they can do that, we can train, we can learn everything else. But I'll take a bullet for them, and they'll take a bullet for me, literally. That's not a figure of speech, because where we work and where we go is in the trenches, and so I have to know they got my back, not only in the trench, but also at home. And so there's a kindred spirit. It just jumps, and you'll know. You just know that you know. And you may not have all the questions answered and the details, but that doesn't matter. There's just a kindred spirit, and it's like you've known them for a long time, and you're going, okay, here we go. But then you'll be offended. That's part of the whole deal, because iron sharpens iron. It's not without offense. It's not without misunderstanding. It's not without error. That's when you have to go back to loyalty and what God put in your heart for that person. And regardless of what your mind says or your past hurts or your baggage that we're bringing from past things, that makes a lot of difference in the glasses that we wear. We have to understand that I'm here to be a blessing. And as I'm here to be a blessing and serve the mantle, which is the anointing, then everything that I desire and dream will come to pass. And so, does that make sense? And so, because you choose them doesn't mean there's without conflict. There'll be disagreements, but the beauty of it is to be able to disagree agreeably. I love my brother, and I'll do anything for him. Doesn't mean I agree with him all the time. And when I don't, I let him know. And it's just, it is what it is. Okay? Okay, anyone else? Great question. Yes, sir. You mean the two apostles in my life? Yeah. It was simultaneous. It was at the same time. It was simultaneous. And so the revelation I came to is I have to, even though they're both truth, they're both words of God. One fed my spirit, and that's thank you for saying that, because that's what I was going to get to. You need to eat what feeds your spirit and celebrate the other stuff that doesn't. What does celebrate mean? Be happy for the person next to you that it ministers to. But what I tend to do because of my nature, man nature inside, is to maybe nitpick about the thing that didn't make sense. And all that is in me is insecurity of who I am. When you get to a place of security of who you are, then you can be you and not worry about that, because people will always try to make you different, and that's fine. You just smile and, you know, it's all good. But how long did it take? It didn't take very long. It took maybe 3 months to recognize and finally get the revelation is I have to go with what feeds my spirit. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it. And there was that person there that was for that season. Now, that doesn't mean that he is there for the rest of my life. It was a season. And now that was the word of the Lord for that season for me. And the way I recognize it is whatever brings life to your spirit is what God is talking to you. It may be a fearful, tough thing, but it still brings excitement in life. And that's how you know it's God for you at that point. If it knocks your vision out, takes the wind out of your sail, and it seems hopeless, that's not for you from God for that season. It's real simple. It's real simple to tell. And you know it. Whatever excites and breeds life, that's where God has the anointing. That's what you do. Does that answer the question? Okay. Celebrate the things that don't. Meaning if it doesn't make sense or it irritates or it's cotton candy to my spirit. You know what cotton candy is? Sweet to the taste, but no content. There's a lot of cotton candy out there. There's a lot of fluff, and it may be that to my thing, but I can celebrate cotton candy. I just don't eat a lot of it, but I can celebrate it, right? But see, what's cotton candy to you may be steak for the person next to you. Isn't that crazy? And so really, what we're going to talk about this afternoon is getting you to a place where you understand who you are. And you can be okay with that. And you can run hard after Jesus and the things of God, knowing that you are you. And there's freedom in that. Really, there's freedom in it. And then, but that, does that mean once you discover who you are, it's downhill? No, it just gets tougher. The reason it gets tougher is because there's people, well-meaning, great people, that want you to be like them. And that's why it's important for you to have that radical middle. You celebrate your, you feed with your tribe. You know, it's like a lion pride. I'm going to go out and do some kills. We're going to get fed. And then I'm going to go hang out with the zebras. Even though a minute ago I just ate a zebra, but I'm going to come over to celebrate with the zebras now. And... Amen. That was revelation from heaven right there. When I was a pastor, before I was delivered, every Sunday we had lamb barbecue. You don't get it, but anyway, you got it. Yeah, yeah. You know, the people are called sheep. So I had people that we barbecued every Sunday. And then the next Sunday I celebrated with them again. So I can pick another lamb that we can eat. But God delivered you from me, so it's okay now. So I'm not... He had mercy on all of you and those in the States. And amen. Anyone else? We got one more question or two more, and then we're going to break for lunch. Yeah. Like, can you give me an example of what you mean? So I don't just answer nicely, that would sound good. So you're kind of all messed up in your language, aren't you? You got split personality linguists going on. Yeah, yeah. No, you don't have to be indigenous here, but if you're here and you're called here, you're a part of the whole thing. And so you get to be a part, whether... You know, you don't have to be a native to be a part of this. God loves to graft on. That's why we're grafted on. We're Gentiles. So we get to be a part of this process. Even if you're here because God's called you to be here a year, you get to be a part of the process. And then learning, and you get that breakthrough anointing that you can carry with you if you catch it, if you do it, and you're obedient to it, and you get to carry it with you wherever you go, yeah. Yeah. My breakthrough anointing doesn't come from the States. It doesn't come through where I'm from. It comes through hell and fire. It's being refined in the hell and the fire and still getting up. Yay. She liked that one. Doesn't mean I crossed through the line and, you know, I was, woo, I got first place. No, I got up again. That's what a righteous man does, doesn't he? He gets up again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Okay, one more question, and then we're going to break for lunch. And then is this okay? Are you getting anything from this? Does this help you for that warrior anointing? Okay, one more question, and then we'll break. No, oh, one more, yes. What was laid on his heart? I thought I did that. I guess I didn't do it very well. As far as you have a breakthrough anointing, you have a breakthrough anointing, which means you have a prophetic anointing, which is evangelistic in nature, but you have been suppressed by other nations, so you won't reach your destiny, and your destiny is to set captives free in other nations with a breakthrough anointing. And that's going to come through the unity with the gifts coming under the right leadership and submission. But then in that submission, you're going to have power and learning prophetic, learning the creativity, the arts, music, worship. You have a real heavy thing on worship, which is a different sound, which we need. And so there's that prophetic and that creativity that's in the core. And that's just what I think when I come here. The reason I come here is because of the warrior anointing. You know, I'll go anywhere if God tells me to, but my job is to raise up warriors. I love Scotland because the whole nation is called to be warriors. You know, I'm full-blooded Scandinavian. You know, Viking. It's in my DNA, baby. You need to learn that word, baby. Come on, baby. Come on. My wife, where she go, that's good, baby. I said, thanks, honey. That's good. I said, baby. Come on, baby. So, anyway, Bishop, why don't you take it, and then he'll tell you what to do. This is not smoke blowing, but this is one of the apostles that God is raising up in this country. So if you have a kindred heart to him, he's not going to control you and tell you what you can and can't do. However, God has given him a position to help you become what you're supposed to be in the other gifts. So he'll cover you, but he'll also lift you up. And that doesn't mean there's without conflict. That doesn't mean there's without disagreement. And that doesn't mean you're somebody's puppet. But if you want to have the power, the only way power comes is through unity. That's it. The power that you long for, the reason we're having the glory cloud, I believe, show up at Bethel, which is astounding. It just all of a sudden comes. And it's hard to describe. It's just a cloud that all of a sudden appears. There's gold dust and glitter, it's actually not gold. It's another product that comes from another country. It's a little thing, I forget what it's called, but a little octagonal six-shaped sided thing that comes from another country. Isn't that crazy? They already had it researched and everything. But it just shows up and it just goes and it just all of a sudden is there and explodes and it's just amazing. But I believe it's because they fight for unity. And that's where power comes through. That's where the signs and wonders are going to come through. It's not for people being coming to islands and doing their own thing. It's for them coming together and saying, okay, I'm gonna swallow my pride and come together and we're going to work on this together. Does that make sense? So this is one of the guys that he's not a prophetic apostle. He's not an evangelistic apostle. He's just playing one of them apostles. And I saw it 4 years ago when I was in Africa and I saw him and prophesied over him. And so he's one of the ones that God is raising up. So if there's a kindred spirit, man, do it. If he's not the one, then God will bring the other. There's several apostles God's raising up in this country. Does that make sense? So there you go. That's free too.